weg gedacht. Dat is voor bij de kleding. Dit is het boek van John. In chapter number 17. And rather than ask for any questions now, if you write it down or if you remember it, then at the end, and I'm gonna try to make sure we have enough time. And so any questions? And in this particular text, as to what it's going to be saying next in verse number 12, is extremely similar. And so let's look at verse number 11 and 12. We just finished looking at verse number 9 and 10. Let me read verse number 9 through 12 so that the people who came a little bit later are able to get the context. John 17:9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and only them. Verse 10, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. It's the one he prayed for, it's the one the Father gave him, it's the one who hears his word. Verse 11, now I am no longer in the world. He's speaking in prophecy because he's praying through the cross as if the work was already finished. He knew his Father would uphold him in his hour of coming home unto the Father is near. He had a great attitude towards suffering. He looked unto heaven all the time. But these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. Is he going to do it? Yes, sir. That they may be one as we are, and all Christians are already one in the Spirit, and we need to act in our unity. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. I defended them, I spoke up for them. I overcame their enemies and foes. I rebuked them and I taught them. I shielded them. I covered them. I protected them. I saved them. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of destruction, of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. The only people who are lost are to the fulfillment of scripture. It was predestined that he would save his elect, the church. It was ordained that everybody else would enter into destruction. And we have to remember that God Almighty, as he places men into the camps, those who obtain mercy, and those that are hardened. But those that will be unto the glory of his mercy, and those unto the glory of his wrath. Yes, we see that? Declare. I'm just going to quote it. It's in Romans 9 again, verse number 22, verse number 23. And if we are clear, I will move on. I'm happy to. Happy to help any way I can. What if God wanting to show his wrath? And that's the key of the verse. He wants to. Now, in a sense, he doesn't want to show anything but mercy. That's why he weeps. He wept over Jerusalem. That's why he commands all men everywhere to repent. He commands it in sincerity. He wants you and me to be saved. But in another sense, it's another truth that's in the Bible. Everybody that's in hell, he wants to be there or they wouldn't be there. He casts them into hell. He doesn't ask them if they want to go, if they say yes, you go, and if they say no, okay, you don't have to. He catches them, he snatches them, he saves his people, and then he sends everybody else into hell. Why? What's in the text? What's the reason, sir? There's a reason in the text. What does he want to show? It's in that text. It's in other texts he wants to show mercy. In that text, he wants to show his wrath, his power. And that's how we read the Bible. If we don't just take this, and then like a salad, I pick out that and say, I don't want that. I hate sardines. On salad, on pizza, I won't eat them. It's actually anchovies. Very nasty creatures. I will pick them out of my food every time. But the Word of God in the Gospel is we don't get to pick and choose. And so some texts talk about his mercy. And some texts talk about his wrath. His justice, his power, and he has both. And he wants to show both. And that's why Judas had to perish, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. It was Judas's fault. He had every opportunity to be saved, just like Pharaoh. But when Judas chose destruction, he was doing what God had already appointed in the Psalms 1,000 years before he was born. A familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me. And then Peter quotes it in Acts 1, let this other one take his office as a bishop. He's fulfilling scripture. Nobody goes to hell except according to the determined appointment of God. Now, is that the kind of God that you want to serve? Mr. Spurgeon said, if I had 10,000 lives, it would not be enough to give unto my sin. And here's why. That person that's in hell could have been me. A decision was determined by God. God.
I hate to stop using it, but if I sense any rebellion, I will say it again. Determined by God. Because that's what the text says. That's why I chose Christ. That's why I came to Jesus. That's why I love God. That's why I'm a preacher. That's why every good thing that's in us is good. God. Can we give Him all the glory? That's the gospel. And it is secure. There is nobody lost but the sons of perdition. All the people that give God glory are saved unto the end. Secure. Loved with an everlasting love. There's a special love on me and you that He doesn't have for Judas. He didn't love Peter and Judas the same. He loved this man named Judas and said, come to me. But He loved this man Peter and said, I pray for you that your faith, it won't fail. And when you're recovered, after I help you, strengthen your brother. But Judas, it had been better for you to have never been born. And that which you do, is you do quickly. You have ignored all of my warnings. And I'm going to flex my power on you. I'm going to show the wrath of God upon you. I'm going to show the righteousness of my anger. He's wanting to show His wrath. That's what it says. And I hate any gospel that denies what it says. And I won't preach it or tolerate it. It's unacceptable. This is who God is. He's in the Bible. He's according to His Word. This is God. It's not our imagination. Who I want Him to be or who I heard He was. No, it's who He says. And to make His power known is He endured with much long suffering. It was agonizing unto His soul. As that ark was being prepared, He waited. He's in anger, but He's holding back His wrath. Just, it's the same Noah. He's waiting. If His elect were not in this world, He'd pour out His wrath. He snatches church and pour out His wrath. When one of the elect is the last one, and He saves it, that's the end of this world. It's curse. And He's pouring out His wrath. Up until then, He's holding it back with long suffering. As a holy God who hates iniquity, He hates sin. He's not to be played with, He's to be worshipped. His Word, it tells us who God is. The vessels of wrath prepared by who? By God. Hath not the potter the power of the clay? Of the same love of iniquity and of sinner, God to make one unto righteousness and unto mercy, and to make another just like Pharaoh and just like Judas. I'll use you how I will. Which one would you want to be? Me? I want to be vessel of mercy. You are whoever calls on His name, you shall be saved. Oh, He wants you. He's more willing than you are. He wants you to come to Him. He's begging you. But if you don't, he's got plan B, which is really plan A, prepared for destruction. The sons of destruction, that the scriptures may be fulfilled, his wrath and his mercy. Verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he prepared beforehand for glory. It's even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. There is not a single person that has been chosen by God who shall be lost. Next, and I did say this earlier, and I've been saying it the whole time, every one of us is commanded and called and bidden with absolute earnestness. Did you hear me on this? One of the reasons that verse is in the Bible, none of them is lost, but the son of destruction, that the scriptures may be fulfilled, is to scare us into Christ Jesus. The main reason that hell is in the Bible is to scare us into Christ Jesus and to glorify his mercy. Hell is the punishment of the sinner, but it's under the glory of God and the saving of the elect out of that place by him taking our place on the cross. And it scares us into Christ Jesus. I would not come to Christ. I would not be a Christian if there was no hell. Would you? What's the point? If I'm just going to die as to when I die and be annihilated, or as to die like a dog and there is no judgment and eternity of hell torments, I don't want to suffer for Jesus Christ. I want to please and to order my flesh. I want to be the boss of my own life. It's in my nature, it's in yours. But hell makes us say, I got to stop this. I got to get into Christ Jesus. And then when you come, is you find joys that the world can never know anything about. Isn't it happy in Christ Jesus? It's the book of John, please, in chapter number 4. And I'm sincerely bidding of sinners and saints under Christ Jesus, come for the joy. The scripture says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And if he can do all that for the joy that's coming, how much more so be you? Our suffering is small. And our heaven is almost as big as his. I'm at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. I'm going to have pleasures evermore. But in this life, there's joy that the world doesn't know in living for and preaching the gospel. In living that other people are saved is the highest joy a human can experience. If you do it in the power of God and with a clean conscience in the forgiveness of sins. If you do it to earn heaven, oh, I don't win enough souls, I ain't going to heaven. Fooling on that. That's not right. Salvation is by grace. But if you do it because he saved you,
and you want somebody else to know the joy and love of Christ, He's with you. And if you do it in the power of the Spirit, is over there we have a father, there's a small baby. Is a baby holding up himself? And neither are you and I if we lean back in His arms and His strength. And say, Father, I can't make it. I cannot do this unless you do it through me. And then He does it. And then the joy is filled. And just like that, a little baby, as you get some kisses, as you get held up and you get some kisses and you get to do God's will. And the Lord Jesus said in John 4, verse number 34, Jesus said to them, my food, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. The greatest thrill of my eternal soul, He said, is to obey the will of God. Oh my. I got a message this morning from a young lady in Ethiopia. She had a boyfriend for 8 years. And she loved him, and she wanted to marry him. And he moved into California, and he left her behind. And he isn't calling her, he isn't talking to her. He's found him some girl out in California. And he moved on. And from her message, is she didn't want to live, she doesn't want to praise God, is she feels abandoned. And I told her from experience, if you serve Him, your joy, it'll be full. If you live for yourself, it'll be miserable. If you deny His will, His sovereignty, and His goodness, if you say, God, you're wrong, is you're going to be as miserable as Job. And there won't ever be anything that makes you content. But if you bow to Him, and you realize, even your love towards this man was idolatry. Because you thought, I can't live without Him. And that's blasphemous for a child of God. I can't live without Him. And who are you going to love more? Is the creature or is the Creator? And I told her, if you live to do God's will, in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the cleansing blood upon your conscience, I'm accepted by God. At my lowest moments, at my lowest points, I'm accepted as much as at my highest. Because I'm accepted by faith in Christ Jesus. It's not what I've done. It's what He's done at the cross. And it was perfect. It satisfies God. That's why He forgives you. He cleanses you. And He helps you. Because of His grace, through the finished work of His Son, and to do His will. Now, if I want to do my will, all bets are off. But if I want to do His will by the power of the Holy Spirit, He'll do it. And the will of Him who sent us, me and you, is what? It's to bring others unto the Father through His Son. It's to live our life in a holy fashion that our gospel is to be honored. not try to earn any points with God. I'm already highly favored. I'm as blessed as Mary. But because I want to bring your glory, God. I want to honor your gospel. And I want to bring others unto you. That's our job. That's our business now. The elect shall be saved. Let's go get them. Let's tell them the gospel. Let's be faithful. And let's be brothers and friends. Let's put aside our small talk of goodness. And be united in Christ Jesus. That's where the unity is. It isn't in our tribe. It isn't in our politics. There are going to be three candidates for president in Nigeria, of the major ones and other small ones. There will be people in this building that will vote for all three. Is that our unity? Is it worth arguing about among Christians? We can differ and we can disagree. We can even argue very vehemently as brothers. But it's not going to break our bond to go out and preach the gospel and be brothers and love each other. It's not going to stop us. It's the book of Genesis, chapter number 45. It's the book of Genesis, chapter number 45. And I'm reminded of this particular text, my brethren, by experience. I had an experience just yesterday of it had been boiling up over the weekend and actually for months and years. There's a particular brother whose politics I disagree with him on, and I try to tell him it's not a part of the gospel. And he called me dishonest. He called me a liar. And I didn't like it, and I took it as an offense. Because if I'm a liar, I can't preach the gospel. I'm disqualified. So I'm not a liar. And I didn't appreciate as to what he said. And I unfriended him on Facebook. And I told him a few things. And this morning, as to when I woke up, the first thing I thought is, hey, Shibu, you messed up. Even if he's wrong, you got to be right. That's your brother. And you got to go the extra mile. You got to take a slap on the cheek. And you got to be wronged by people and respond rightly. That's our commission. Because the Master is our Father. He saved us. And if we want to walk with Him, then we got to do it His way. And if we want to have peace, we got to be obedient. And I don't mean the politician. And I mean the real one. Obedient. And in the book of Genesis, I hope that is clear and helpful. I have to repent. I have to be how God wants me to be. And here is what he said. Now we look on Saturday at chapter number 44. But this Monday we're looking at chapter number 45. And let me tell you the story. You can go on your own time and you can read it. In chapter number 45, at the beginning, that's when Joseph, as he reveals himself, after Judah had promised to bring back Benjamin, and he acted as a pledge, as a surety, as a guarantee. After that, that's when Joseph revealed himself. As his weeping was just too much, his heart was just bubbling up in love at the thought of the surety. And so then he gathers all of his brothers, together. And it gives them, us, it's only this one mission. And you know what it was? It's to bring back his father into Egypt, right? And to seek him on his throne.
It's a picture of the preaching of the gospel. Our whole mission in life now that we're saved, he spared us, is to bring others unto Joseph. But then he says this in the book of Genesis, chapter number 45, in verse number 24, and it depends upon your translation, but I'll let you see what the text is saying. So he sent his brothers away. These are all missionaries now. And Christ is their mission, his people. And they departed. But the Master and the Lord Jesus has told us to go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples, preach the gospel. And he said to them, see that you do not argue or become troubled or fall out along the way. And in the original Hebrew, it's hard to understand, but the essence of it is clear. Don't start arguing and fighting. You've got this mission. And our mission is not unto build Equa, or to build First Baptist, or to build Presbyterian, or to build a Haitian Moves ministry. Our mission is one. Bring them to Jesus. That they may bow down and be justified by faith. And when they see him, is to teach them how to serve God, how to grow in grace, how to lean on the Spirit, how to be forgiven, how to walk with their eyes on Jesus Christ instead of the storm. If you have your sins, I got mine. Keep your eyes on Christ. He will put them down. He'll overcome. If you want joy, you're looking unto Jesus. As you're receiving him for who he is, the Savior of your soul, the strength giver, the atonement he made, and it's to do his will. And if we don't argue, if we don't fight, if we don't get upset at each other over tribes and over attitudes and over failures, this brother offended me, this sister said something, I did something wrong. If we need to forgive each other, like he has forgiven us. And we need to understand that the only reason I'm in that book of life, the only reason I'm saved, is he gave me unto the Son. He included us in the gospel redemption. He saved us by himself on purpose. And so let's go and preach the gospel. Three, the elect are going to hear his voice. They're good soil. And they might not hear for a long time, but they will hear it. So don't be afraid to speak to somebody just because he's a Muslim, or he's really dirty, or the woman's a prostitute. Don't be scared. You never know who the elect just might be.
just happy to see. That's love, people. Just walk in unity with the saints. And the church is supposed to be a place to love each other. Listen, in the New Testament, in the whole New Testament, how many buildings did they build? One? Less than one? Zero. Who did they use their money on? It was on people. It was on preachers. They had to eat and they had to preach and study. It was on widows. If you're over the age of 70 in the house of God in the New Testament and you don't work, is you still eat. If you've been faithful and you know it's over the age, is it 60 or 70? You know. Looking forward to it. I hear you. That's the job of the church. It's the orphans of believers. It's not every orphan I have to care for. But if I'm a pastor of a church and there's an orphan, if the sister passes in the glory, the child isn't going on the street. That's for us to take care of. Somebody will open their home and out of our offering it will help to support them to feed the church. That's the New Testament. And the breaking of bread from house to house. Everything doesn't have to be done in this house. It could be in your house with 2 to 3 having a meal over the gospel and encouraging and strengthening each other. That's the New Testament Christianity. And we've got to get back to it. It's because that's how God saves people through healthy churches that are obedient unto Him. Not arguing, not building houses and neglecting people. Everybody ought to work. But those who can't work or something happens, they're old and infirm. The church takes care of them. And you don't have to send them back unto their tribe or unto their family. The church is their family. Their family. It's not just talk. It's not just Sunday morning. It's the body of Jesus Christ. A real group of people that search for the elect of God. Because they have been elected themselves. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. So if this last thing is you come to Him now. From your heart, by faith, you trust Him to save you. Trust Him for His blood. It's your cleansing of God. I'm accepted through what Jesus did. And trust His Spirit unto make you able to live a new life, a godly life, a holy life, that you may honor the gospel and bring other people to Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. Don't let Him find you unwatchful. Is that the compound on that? Does it have guards? I don't know if they're armed or not, but they're there watching. And the elect they will come unto their eternal happiness. Come, that you might be saved. Let's pray together, and then after the prayer, there's some time to answer some questions. And who will pray for us? Our Father, as we pray unto you, we give you thanksgiving for Christ and the cross. It's all your work. Help us, Father. Help us to pray. You use even sinners do. There's no perfection in us. So we make mistakes. But you still use us. Because we're saints. We're holy. And you're breathing on us by your Holy Spirit. Use us to save people now. Use our prayer and use our preaching and use our conduct and use our attitude for Christ's sake. And bless our body, even a multitude of people, to come unto Jesus Christ for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you very much. As we worked up the sweat from here, I did. Is there any question of anybody? Because I'm happy to see so many of you here, even though you're all scattered all over the church. You're welcome. Is there any question? Is there anything unclear? Because I know from Saturday was a hard day. And half of it was in my own fault. In the explanation and in the spirit, I have to organize my thoughts. But today we heard gospel.